Sportsnet.com.
Get in the game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Welcome back to the game. Tyler Dreiling, Grant Flanders with you for the next hour, the final hour of our work week. If you're just getting off work, congratulations, and man, enjoy the weather. It is really cold out there right now. I'm actually going on vacation next week. Really excited about that.
Hawaii, that's just unfair, Tyler.
I will be in Hawaii next week. I am looking forward to it. I will come back very sunburned. Gonna do some scuba diving, which was my absolute favorite thing to do. John will have to hold down the fort, essentially, while I'm gone. You may have to step in a couple times. I don't know what all is happening next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll have you at the ready for sure. Good work today so far, by the way. In this hour, we'll talk to Toby Rowland. He is the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners. John had a chance to catch up with him earlier this afternoon, I should say, and you'll hear that conversation as Kansas State basketball will take on the Sooners tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock at Bramlage Coliseum, trying to put that bitter loss to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse behind them. Also have You Can't Be Serious later in this hour. A little bit of breaking Royals news from the hot stove as Jerrod Dyson is no longer a Kansas City Royal. He gets traded for Nate Karns, a starting pitcher from the Seattle Mariners. We may talk about that a little bit more in this hour. But the biggest piece of news today, this breaking about 2 hours ago, Elijah Lee, K-State's leading tackler in 2016, announces on Twitter that he has elected to enter the 2017 NFL Draft. And we talked about it a lot in the first hour. There are plenty of negatives that you can look at with this as it pertains to K-State. I do want to point out that while we are talking about what K-State loses and how troubling this could be for the 2017 defense, do not mistake that for me saying that Elijah Lee is bailing on his school or his fans or anything like that. I wish him all the best. I was a little bit surprised that he decided to go this route, but he has come to the decision after talking to his family, his friends, his teammates, his coaches, and, of course, some experts from the NFL coming to the decision that this is the right thing for him to do financially for his future, and all you can do is respect that and wish him the best as he looks to make it at the next level. But losing Elijah Lee, and I mentioned this in the first hour, is a lot more than losing 110 tackles off of your defense going into next year. Your leading returning tackler among linebackers is now going to be Trent Tanking, who had 19 this year, and it becomes a real position of need for this K-State team going into what should be a very successful 2017 season. It sounds like the Wildcats are going to get on the recruiting trail and try to find a JUCO linebacker that they can bring in and one that can hopefully contribute right away. That's easier said than done, but we'll see what they're able to accomplish along there. But this goes way further than losing your 110 tackles and your 6.5 tackles for loss and your two interceptions that he was able to give you. Elijah Lee was a very loud player, not only in the hits that he made, but the things that he had to say after the hits to the opponents. You know, he liked to talk, and that was a net positive for K-State as a team and as a defense, because, and you could see this in the Texas Bowl, K-State had an edge, a chip on its shoulder, and I thought that Elijah Lee was a really big part of that. Maybe he knew going into that game that it potentially could be his last game as a Kansas State Wildcats, and that's why we saw a whole lot of that out of him and his teammates. But Elijah Lee was an excellent leader for this team, and maybe even more so, and this isn't some big competition between the two of them, but I think you can make the case that Elijah Lee was as much of a quarterback for that defense as Dante Barnett was. And coming into the season, more people were talking about the impact of Dante Barnett being back from his injury, how much that's going to help K-State's back seven and the secondary and him being able to direct players into positions, everything like that. I thought that Elijah Lee did a heck of a lot of that this season as well, and that's going to be an aspect of him that's missed. So who is going to be your quarterback of the defense next year? I think it's a really good question. You can talk about DJ Reed. He had a breakout season this year, one of K-State's most important defensive players, potentially Duke Shelley. I don't know, Will Geary, Reggie Walker. You know, there are candidates, but there are no bona fide favorites for that position, and that is a very important position that Elijah Lee is leaving empty and that someone will have to step up and fill. 537-1350 is the phone number, 866-776-1350. A Jerry Kill question from Byron in Fort Worth. What's going on, Byron?
Oh, I'm just trying to make my way home. We got about a quarter inch of snow down here today, so our freeways are gridlocked. It's interesting. Anyway, I'm hearing that Jerry Kill hasn't actually showed up for work yet, and there may be rumors of maybe a K-State coach retiring and him sticking around here. Are you guys hearing anything about that?
Well, I can tell you what I heard from someone who's pretty well connected a few days ago. It was actually a last weekend that said that he has not signed his contract with Rutgers yet and that there was still some decision-making that he was going through. He was not totally set on going to Rutgers. So as of today, Jerry Kill, I don't believe, is the Rutgers offensive coordinator. I still think it will happen eventually, but I do know that there has been some degree of wondering, a little bit of waffling on his part if that's going to be the right move. But that's about the extent of what I know about it.
Cool. Yeah. All right. That's all I had.
All right. Thanks, Byron. Don't be a stranger, and safe travels home as you try to get back from Fort Worth. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. We actually hadn't talked about that much on the show this week, but Jerry Kill has not yet signed his contract, as far as I know, to be the Rutgers offensive coordinator. We will check. We will wait and see what happens with all of that as we move forward. But getting back to Elijah Lee, I talked about the space that he leaves open, not just with his production, but being the quarterback of the defense. Something else that I mentioned in that first hour is that what he leaves is an opportunity on the table to be one of the best K-State linebackers of all time. And again, this is not me criticizing him for his decision, but I feel like if he would have come back with how many reps he's already put on the field as a Wildcat thus far, he could have had a chance if he would have been like a first-team All-Big 12 guy next year, perhaps, you know, honorable mention All-American. I certainly think that his ceiling is at that level. He could have gone down as one of K-State's best linebackers of all time. As it stands today, I think that he falls just a tier short of that. But who knows? Perhaps his stock would actually increase by what he's able to accomplish at the NFL level, because if he turns out to be a great NFL linebacker, you'd probably consider that to add into the resume that he built when he was in Manhattan.
And I think he does have the ability and the ceiling to become a great NFL linebacker, but I'm siding with you on that. He could have possibly bumped up his draft stock by staying another year and putting some more numbers up, because as you've seen from, I mean, although then you also have the look at Arthur Brown, he stayed an extra year. Who knows, maybe if he would have left junior year, what he would have been able to do.
Yeah, it is a weird comparison because, I mean, first of all, Elijah Lee is the most athletic linebacker that K-State has had since Arthur Brown, and everyone expected that to be a slam dunk pick for the Baltimore Ravens in the second round of the NFL draft, and things haven't really materialized for Arthur Brown at that level. It's not too late for him. He still can have a successful NFL career, but it hasn't taken off in the same way that would have been expected. I do want to talk a little bit about what K-State is looking at the linebacker position going into 2017. I've already gotten several questions about this. I mentioned that Trent Tanking is your leading returning tackler at that position. He had 19 this year. You're going to have Sam Sizelove. You're going to have Justin Hughes. And then you have the big question mark and the one that has the highest ceiling out of all of them, I should mention Jade Kirby. You can throw him in there as well. But Elijah Sullivan, former four-star recruit, Auburn was on him and wanted him to gray shirt his first season. He decided to come to K-State instead. He's got a lot of athleticism, probably more than anyone else on the roster, except for Elijah Lee, I would say. He's right up there. How quickly can he develop into a linebacker that's successful at the Big 12 level? Because being a linebacker in the Big 12 is so much different than being a linebacker, say, in the Big 10.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of knowledge of where you need to be on the field in the passing game. You have to be decent in coverage. That actually was one of Elijah Lee's bigger weaknesses at K-State, and he was better at that as time went along, but he was extremely raw in pass coverage his first couple of seasons. What can Elijah Sullivan do in that area? Because I know that he can fill the holes and he can make hits and he can make some big plays for you. But is he going to be in his correct positions when you're facing quarterbacks like Mason Rudolph next year, some of the other really good quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, of course, in the Big 12? How does he play against those kind of teams? That's the big question mark with him, and something he's going to have to work very hard on over the course of these next 6 or 8 months leading into fall camp.
No doubt. And my question now is, of course, this year, K-State relied heavily on their defense. Their defense was the star of the show every Saturday. Will next year be different? Will the offense be the star of – will you see a more high-powered offense and – possibly more reliant on the offense than we saw this year?
That's actually a really good question. I think that you raise a really good point, and that's very possible because of the fact that K-State averaged more yards per carry this year than any year in the 121-year history of K-State football. They set a new record for most yards per carry. I believe it was like 5.27 or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But it was very, very good, and K-State certainly – got its passing game going a little bit better as the season went along. Jesse Ertz developed as a passer. He got more on the same page with Byron Pringle, who made some of his best plays in the final couple games of the year. I think you can make that case that K-State's offense will be better than K-State's defense next year. And that's crazy to think about, considering where we were at, say, game one, the Stanford game this year, how much further ahead K-State's defense was. But I would have to ask, you know, Bill Snyder and the players if they agree with that. I don't think Bill Snyder would actually give a good answer to that question, but it's possible.
It just goes to show how huge losing Elijah Lee and Jordan Willis, of course, due to graduation and being a senior, and how huge that is.
Dante Barnett, of course, you throw him in there as well. I think that losing Elijah Lee will impact K-State's preseason expectations on the national level, not to a huge extent. But to me, he makes a difference of 3 or 4 spots in the preseason polls, not the Big 12 poll. I'm talking about the national polls. We had seen K-State, talked about it yesterday in the Athlon, way too early top 25. K-State was listed 18th. I think that a loss like this, when you're losing your leading tackler, probably drops you down into the 23 or 24 range. If they were to make a new ranking today, that's all subjective, and you know that's just one poll, but I think that it has that kind of impact, and it'll probably impact K-State's preseason Big 12 ranking by a spot or two as well. Going in, it wouldn't have surprised me if K-State was picked second in the league. Now I think third is probably the highest that you could possibly see it, and still possible for it to be fourth or fifth, and then K-State would actually be able to play that disrespect card again, like they love to do oh so much. But it's a big piece of news today as K-State will lose Elijah Lee to the NFL draft. He will not be the first Wildcat taken in the draft. That will definitely be Jordan Willis. But Lee, I'm seeing things maybe potentially as high as the third round. I would expect him more likely to fall into the fourth or fifth round of the draft. But in any case, that is what we are looking at right now. Headed to our first break of the second hour. Make sure to keep it with us here through 6 o'clock. We'll have You Can't Be Serious to finish things off. But coming up next, John had a chance to catch up with the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners, Toby Rowland, earlier this afternoon. K-State taking on OU at Bramlage Coliseum tomorrow. You will hear that conversation coming up next on The Game.